Hey there, this is Chris Brown with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. And before we get started, I've got an interesting fact here for you. Did you know that the average American spends 13 hours preparing and filing their taxes? Well, that is way too long. One of our endorsed local providers can help you with your taxes in only 2 hours. Go to stewardship.com and click on Find an ELP to find a tax advisor in your area to help you simplify your tax returns this year. Again, that's stewardship.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, I'd like to welcome you to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we together as a community are reclaiming stewardship in America and through the podcast internationally. What is stewardship? Well, it is not fundraising. It's not just recycling. That word has been very confused. So we are bringing clarity to the definition. Stewardship is managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. Everything that you hear on this show foundationally comes from the belief that God owns it all. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." And if he's the owner, that means that we are not. We are the managers. 1 Corinthians tells us, "Whoever has been entrusted to be managers must prove faithful." And the question is, what does faithful look like? Well, that's what we dive into on this show. We dive into the Bible and find out what faithful looks like. So we're ready for your calls at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. And as you call in, I have to tell you, I'm getting a lot of questions about taxes. And what I'm hearing is not good. Folks, we don't have a clue. Many of us are not accountants. We have no idea what we're doing. And when I hear some of your questions, here's the deal. I'm not an accountant either, and I am not leaving my taxes to chance, and I don't want you to either. So don't leave your taxes up to chance with some do-it-yourself software that scares me to death that you're doing that. There are tax professionals in your area with the heart of a teacher. Go to stewardship.com, click on Find an ELP, that's an endorsed local provider, to get in touch with one of them who you can trust and who can save you time and save you money. Once again, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and we're honored that you're tuning in today. Our first call comes in from Atlanta, Georgia. This is Chris. Chris, how are you?
Hi, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
I'm honored. How can I help you?
Well, okay, I have a question. It's a budgeting / life insurance question. My wife and I, about a month and a half ago, really decided to make a decision and take control of our finances. And we had started listening to some of Dave Ramsey's teachings. Our parents had gone through financial peace and had been encouraging us to do it. And heard a couple of lessons. And what we realized is that we were really in a position, due to me having lost my job some time ago, that we were actually in the crisis living situation, like Dave talks about, where the focus should really be the big four of food, shelter, transportation, and clothing. So we really just, for lack of a word, became very gazelle intense about increasing our income and making more money, and trying to sell things to really get our head above water. My question is, at what point when you're transitioning, let's say, from the crisis living into starting your baby steps, do you make your term life insurance a priority? I know we totally believe in it, know it's a necessity, and definitely need to have that in place while we're building and trying to get out of debt and build wealth. Mm-hmm. But at what point would you say or recommend for a family coming out of a crisis living situation and starting the baby steps that they make the life insurance a priority as a part of that?
Yeah. I think one factor that isn't necessarily a component of this is what you've come out of. It's more of where you're at now. And so that's, so all that, past, you know, we want to peek at the past and learn from the past. But that's not going to necessarily, be a factor in when you get insurance. It's going to be where you're at now. So a couple of questions for you. How stable is your current job situation?
It's very stable. I'm actually, self-employed. I'm actually in insurance sales. So that's part of why my belief system is so high.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you beyond the four walls now and you feel pretty secure?
Yes. Yes. We're definitely beyond the four walls. You know, it's still very tight. We're, just about complete with baby step one and about to start, baby step two. So like I said, it's really only been about 45 days or so that we really started this process.
Okay. Well, just to catch our listeners up to speed, what we're talking about, the four walls, or we are talking about, you know, what Chris had just referenced, and food and clothing, transportation and shelter. We want to make sure that those four things are taken care of and that we're, you know, going to survive the basic necessities of life before we move on with anything else. And so that was a reference to that. And he referenced baby step one, and that's just talking about making sure that you have $1,000 in an emergency fund, a starter emergency fund, like a money market account, just to make sure that if you get a flat tire or life throws you a little small curveball, you can handle that without going any further into debt. The question is, when do you get life insurance in a sense? And it is a great question and a question that many of our listeners, I'm sure, are asking as well. And the answer is as soon as your four walls are taken care of, as soon as you know that you're in a stable environment. And And that would be right there in that, you know, baby step one, two time period. Don't wait till three. Don't wait till four. And I think it's important for us to recap what life insurance really is. What we're doing is we're transferring risk, a risk that we were going to be absorbing and now we're not. And there's a couple kinds of risks. There's risks that we can absorb and there's risks that we can't absorb. And ones that we can absorb, we don't get insurance for. So if it's something like if you can cover, like right now you've got $1,000 in the bank, and so you don't insure things that are $500 because you can absorb that. There's of course, some examples of insurance. There's auto insurance, there's homeowners and renters, there's health, disability insurance, both short-term and long-term. There's long-term care insurance, identity theft insurance. There's all these kind of insurances out there. And the way you decide whether you should get these insurances is whether you can absorb the cost or not. Now, life insurance is really death insurance, but they don't call it that because that's not really the best marketing. Life insurance sounds a little bit more positive, but what it is it's going to make up for your income in case you were no longer here. And if somebody is relying on your income, Chris, then you need to make sure that you get that and you get it as soon as possible. And what we're referring to is term insurance. Term life insurance, not whole life insurance. And term life insurance is relatively inexpensive. So I would really encourage you to mix that into your budget. What scares me, Chris, is that 30% of folks don't carry life insurance. And so if something were to happen to either the husband or to the wife, the income that they are creating that people are probably depending on would no longer be there, and it would put the family in a bad situation. So I strongly recommend folks to carry 10 times their annual income in term life insurance, and that makes sure that their household is taken care of. So hopefully that answers your question, my friend.
It did, Chris. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
All right, good. Thanks for calling. Well, folks, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and the phone number to call in is 866-357-3283. This next call comes in from San Antonio. This is Jamie. Jamie, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I am better every day. How can I serve you?
Well, thanks for asking. I'm a military wife, and I had a question. We bought a property about 7 years ago before we became a military family. And since becoming military family, we've moved away from that property, and it's now been a rental property for 3.5 years. We're on baby step six, so we're debt free, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
But sometimes we're really hesitant to put a lot of money on the property to pay off the mortgage. So, you know, it's not mortgage free. Mm-hmm. We enjoy being property managers. I've got a sweet military family in there right now. I hear Dave Ramsey sometimes saying, you know, you should not have an income property like that unless you can buy it outright, which we cannot. But we could work to pay it down. I could see us seeing people in the future with more wealth who could potentially do that, have more rentals in the future. But I just want to make sure I'm doing the right thing for now, that I know how to use the money that we're saving the best way towards that house, or should we sell it? Just get your advice on that.
Yeah, well, first of all, I thank your family for being involved in serving our country. I appreciate that.
Sure. Thank you for saying that.
Let me recap this. Is this your own? This is your only house, right? This is your old primary. Correct. You moved away. How far away is it?
It's quite a bit far away. We're in San Antonio now, and the property is in San Diego.
Okay. Okay. What's your current income?
We take home about $4,500 a month. We also have, you know, housing that we get from the military too on top of that. So that's a funny question.
Okay.
So
roughly, let's say a $6,000. Are you living a $6,000 a month lifestyle, maybe?
Yes, that's a good way to say that.
Okay. All right. What's your monthly income on the rental?
So we are getting $2,100. For that, our mortgage is about $1,800.
Okay.
It's covering the bases. Sometimes we need to put extra money into the house, but I should tell you that it's earned a lot. So the property is worth almost $150,000 more than we purchased it for. So, I mean, it's doing well.
Your $1,800 a month payment, does that include taxes and insurance?
Yes.
Okay. And you said you had to put some money into this house every once in a while. What does that maintenance look like?
Like our tubs need something that's coming up soon is our tubs need replacing in the house. So we'll probably get that done in the next year. A couple of years ago, we did replace the roof. We want to maintain the house so that when we're ready to sell, you know, it's going up in property value, and we try to repair things that we think will benefit us when we are ready to sell.
Have you ever heard of Financial Peace University?
I sure have.
You have, right?
I did complete that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Yeah. You said you're on baby step six. I don't like you having a rental property out of the locale, out of the location that you're at. You can't really watch it really well. And let me ask you one more question. Do you have any other investments besides this?
Well, we're just contributing to our retirement.
Okay. And how much? How long have you been doing that?
We've been doing that for a few years now when we were ready for that baby step. Mm-hmm. And we do our 15%. We have them in Roth IRAs right now.
Okay. Okay. I would sell it. I would sell it, and I would diversify that $150,000 in equity instead of having it wrapped up in one parcel. I think you've already made a good amount of money off of it. And I would sell it, and I would make sure that you put that money into the baby steps, which right now it sounds like you've got your emergency fund. You're doing the 15%.
Right.
But I don't think this is your best investment. I think it's a investment, and it's fine, but it would be much better off if you, let's say you're already through the baby steps. Baby step six is weird for you because you've got that. It's weird for you. So it's just different, but paying off your primary. But I would take that $150,000, and obviously I would tithe off of the gains off of that, because that's just a gift from God for sure. And let's say you've got 130 left or something like that. I would buy a rental house, real close to your base, and I know you kind of travel around a lot, so that might be tricky for you. But buy one that's in cash, and then instead of making $300 a month, now you're making $700 or $800 a month, and it's close to you.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think if I was going to say, hey, listen, do you want to buy a house and be a landlord and a property manager and stuff like that? And you said yes. And I said, okay, pick the house that you want to do that for. You would not pick that house.
Right.
So let's regroup. I'm like, let's regroup and let's make $700 or $800 a month. Since you're already diversified. Ecclesiastes 11:2 tells us to make sure we diversify. You've already done that. You've gone through baby step five. You've gone through baby step six. You're there. And and then boom, that's what I would do. If you didn't have the situation with the military and you needed to pay off a primary, for those listening in, I would say make sure you pay off your primary first. But since you're in this unique role where there really isn't a primary in there, I would make sure that you make $700 or $800 a month off that money. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. So what would you advise then in our situation with moving around a lot? Mm-hmm. We could put that money into a property for ourselves that we'd then sell again in a few years after we had to move again because of the military. But we'd like to put that money towards something, like you said, diversify that money, invest it. Just invest it, is that your advice? Or should we think about, like you said, you could do an income property, but we're moving around so frequently that it's kind of the same problem. So I'm hearing you say just invest it. Is that the best thing we can do with that, you think?
Yes, with your lifestyle, being a landlord might not be an option. It might not be. You don't want properties all over the country that you've got to babysit. So I would just let your money work for you. And I wouldn't, you know, tie it up and you've already done the retirement. I would do growth stock mutual funds and low turnover mutual funds that, you know, after about 5 or 7 years, you can pull them out in each one. So they're kind of semi-liquid, and you can pull them out if you needed to put them towards a primary if you guys were to kind of settle into one city for a while. Well, that certainly is a good question coming in from Jamie, calling in from San Antonio. And you ever thought about this? You know, what does selling a house like that look like on your taxes? I mean, she's got to think through that. And what happens with taxes when it goes from a primary to a rental or to an investment property? There's a lot of complex tax situations that come along with that. Those are things that we need to be considering this time of year. Of course, the tax deadline is on Monday, April 18th, and that is it's right around the corner. So before you rush out and you purchase some do-it-yourself tax software or pay one of those big box tax companies to have some random person file your taxes, I want to encourage you to stop and consider your options. Don't let a deadline force you to leave something as important as your taxes up for chance. You deserve better. You deserve to work with a certified, licensed tax pro that has the heart of a teacher and wants to help you get your full refund. Our endorsed local providers, ELPs is what we call them, they're tax experts in your area who will prepare and file your taxes and will work hard to make sure that you get every deduction that you deserve and that you never overpay the IRS. They'll always help you figure out the right amount to take from your paycheck in the future so that you can keep your hard-earned money and not keep giving the government this interest-free loan all year long. So it's not too late to get connected with an ELP. Go to stewardship.com and click Find an ELP to schedule an appointment with a local tax expert. The key word here is that you can trust.
This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
I got a quick Facebook question here from Cynthia. She says, Chris, my husband and I got to baby step 3 in November, then went back to baby step 2 this month. Should we stop all savings and sinking funds to get back to baby step 3? And the answer for you, Cynthia, is yes. Romans 13:8 says to owe no man anything except for the debt to love one another. And I want to encourage you, go back, stop the bleeding, and then we can go back to the savings. A very good question coming in on Facebook. Of course, you can connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Chris Brown on Air. This next call comes in from Mount Pleasant, Michigan. This is Dan. Hey, Dan, how are you?
Hey, Chris, how's it going?
Oh, it's going well. How can I serve you?
So I have an interesting thing going on. I'm the FPU coordinator at my church. And this past weekend, my pastor was talking about how you can sometimes spell love, T-I-M-E, and he wanted to see if I would be interested in volunteering to kind of help as a financial coach, because occasionally he gets people that come in for counseling, and he doesn't know what to do or tell them if it's financial.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also currently interviewing to be a financial advisor, so I just wanted to get some advice on how I can do that without necessarily affecting a career. Because honestly, I've never been the most religious person, so I don't know exactly where to go from here.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coordinating the class. That's pretty cool. How long have you been doing that?
This is our second class that we're teaching, and we went through one last year.
That's very cool. Thanks for doing that. Mm-hmm. We're all in this together, right?
Exactly. It's all one team.
That's cool. Well, I don't see there being any conflict here. I think just being upfront with your pastor, saying what you can do and what you can't do regarding anything that would conflict with your job. And if there is any conflict, I don't even know if there would be. I don't think there would be. Of course, you can't be there's some things that you can do as a counselor that you can't do as a coach. As an advisor, you start saying that you're an advisor, that puts you liability wise in some situations. So if you're being advertised at the church as a coach, I think even probably counselor might be okay, but probably not. I'll just say financial coach. I don't think there's any need to go towards any kind of liability risk. So I'll just say coach. And then I would let him know what you can do and what you can't do when it comes to biblical advice. Hey, listen, I don't know if you think I'm somewhere where I'm not, but I'm not very advanced in this area. So I just wanted you to know where I'm at. I've only been kind of following biblical principles for X amount of time, and I'm a little behind. I think I'm behind. I want to let you know, and he can say, okay, cool, that sounds good. We'll partner you up with another coach and get you trained more on the theology side. But I think just being open and honest. But I do think this. I think, Dan, that you might think that it takes more than it does. I think what you want to do is you want to provide three things. You want to provide information for people. Okay, you want to make them more informed than they were before. And you want to give them options. So here's your option. You're not telling them what they have to do. You're saying, hey, you could do this or you could do that. And you're giving them the options. Here are the pros if you do this, and here's the cons if you do this. And you give them options. So you're not on the hook for anything. You're just letting them know what their options are, because a lot of folks don't know what their options are. And then the last thing you're trying to do is you're trying to inject them with hope. So if you do those three things, provide information, give them their options, and inject them with hope, I don't see any kind of liability from your job, and I don't see any kind of conflict religion-wise. You're just letting them know. And as you go through this, the best way to learn something is to be teaching something. And so you're going to start picking up on some scriptures and you start using all that. I know for me, the verse that comes to mind in this situation is 2 Corinthians 8:12. It says, "For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one doesn't have." And that is, boom, right there, right where we're at right now, what we're talking about. So I think he's going to take your willingness and he's going to increase your gift, my friend.
I love that. And this pastor, to brag on a little bit, has really motivated me to read the Bible more, and especially focus on the scriptures that are in FPU, and especially like Hebrews 12:11 and Romans 13:8.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think you'll grow in this in the process, and I think this is what Ephesians 4:12 is about equipping the saints for acts of service. And he's trying to give you a opportunity where you can serve and be part of the kingdom. So I think it's great. I don't see any kind of red flags at all.
Well, thank you, Chris. I really appreciate that. I love you and Dave's show, and hopefully I'll see you guys in a few months when we go to do our debt-free scream.
Oh, that would be incredible. Make sure that you let me know when you're coming in, because I want to meet you.
Absolutely. Sounds like a plan, Chris.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Well, that was encouraging. Man, speaking of encouraging, there's here's an encouraging Facebook post from Patrick. He says, "Just wanted to let you know, Chris and Ramsey Solutions, that I discovered your radio station in my greater Seattle area in July, and my life has completely changed since. I was caught off guard when I heard you say that college was something that we should only do if we can afford it. I was amazed at this. Was this man from Earth or perhaps a Martian? I had seriously never heard of people who actually spend less than they make and save and strategize for purchases in the future. I'm battling through baby step one now, but just the mere look of handling money from the Bible is revolutionary. Budgeting? What a concept. God bless y'all. Keep firing." What an encouraging Facebook post that was. Y'all, thank you, Patrick, for sending that in. It is very encouraging to our team. And just a reminder to all of us, that was probably very refreshing to Patrick to even send in as well. It feels good to be generous. with our money, but also with our words. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:25, whoever refreshes others, themselves are refreshed. Let's be refreshing people. And in turn, what will happen is we will be walking around refreshed ourselves. And just a reminder to all of us, all of you who have been emailing in asking about tax information, we are here to help. Head to stewardship.com, click on Find an ELP to talk with a tax professional in your area that can help you out. As always, if you think of a question that you didn't get to ask today, send an email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Again, that's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Well, folks, it has been a pleasure. God bless you.